Hi everyone, and welcome to the Loopcast. I'm Chelsea Damon, one of the hosts and producers of the show, and then I have my co-producer here, Sina.
Hi, how's it going?
And we're the Loopcast team. So today we thought we'd do a fun show because November marks the Loopcast's third year anniversary, third year birthday, whatever you want to call it. And we thought we'd do a fun show that could give our listeners an idea of how the show got started, because we do have people that ask us, how did the Loopcast come about, and a little bit about ourselves, and just some like fun thoughts and trivia about the Loopcast. So thanks for listening to us. So Sina, why don't you start off with telling our listeners how the Loopcast got started, since you kind of got it up and running off the ground way back when in 2012.
Sure. So in 2012, you had, in my view, podcasts were becoming more popular, that, you know, everybody now has an iPhone or an Android, and people were downloading podcasts a lot more, or it became a larger medium than it previously was. Going through podcasts, there wasn't a lot of talk shows that dealt with national security issues. You could consider NPR or even Charlie Rose a sort of a conversation, you know, as a sort of conversation about national security. It was just those shows always would, you know, in my opinion, be too late or have, you know, do very basic analyses. So I thought to myself, you know, here I am in D.C., and I know a lot of smart people. And it's being D.C., there are a lot of young smart people and people that work at think tanks that don't necessarily get highlighted as much as they should. And not just think tanks, but historians and other people. So I thought to myself, wouldn't it be cool if we had a long-form interview show that centered around, you know, first up-and-comers, people you might not necessarily have heard of, and bringing their ideas in writing and analysis to the foreground, and then as a secondary and tertiary, giving people that you normally would see on TV or talking heads or people that you would see on talk shows, giving them a medium where they would be able to engage in a longer form conversation. That was sort of the problem I saw with sort of like Charlie Rose or even the news in general, is that you only have 10 or 15 minutes to talk about ISIS or 10 or 15 minutes to talk about InfoSec. So instead of doing only 10 or 15 minutes, I said, you know, maybe let's do 35 or 45 minutes and, you know, have a show that was as stripped down and basic as a sort of a Charlie Rose set, but as in-depth as something that you would see on Frontline or any sort of major news publication.
And as Sina just said, I think the basis of the Loopcast was really this idea that both of us being in D.C. knew a lot of really great young minds, maybe not young minds, but minds that, as he said, really didn't get highlighted. Their work would get published in certain areas, but potentially it didn't hit the mainstream media and everyone didn't know their name. And we really wanted to give these people a platform to show what they do, show their work, show their brilliance in various topics that we've had on the show. And of course, from that, it snowballed with bigger names that, as Sina was saying, come on and can really elaborate on an issue and a topic and not be rushed by a clock as you see on major news networks. And I think I deal with a lot of responses from listeners, and that seems to be the main thing that our listeners love, is the long-form interview, the interviewees not getting rushed to come to a conclusion on a question. So I think that's been one of our successes, and we hope to continue it. Do you have any other thoughts, Sina?
I don't know. I mean, it always seemed like that, you know, part of being able to give a longer answer or having a longer form podcast was that you can have a conversation where, you know, you have your the speaker, you know, establish a thesis and then walk you through it. It's not just, you know, talking points or, you know, less politely, bullshit. It's an actual conversation. It's an actual, there's a point to it. And, you know, I think originally people wanted us to break it up, but I think one of the key successful points is that you can have a 45 minute to an hour conversation, and it flows from point A to point B. And, you know, hopefully that our listener travels with us to the whole time.
Another question that comes up a lot from listeners is the question of who are the people that do Loopcasts? And as we've just said, it's basically myself and Sina. We do everything from finding guests, the research that goes into the shows, you know, working with different schedules when we're free, when the guests are free. Both of us have done the Loopcast with full-time jobs, so at times it can be very much of a dance of schedules. And, yeah, we do everything that goes into the show. So everything from guest relations, schedules, research. Research is the thing that, of course, takes the most time to put some of these shows together. I mean, there have been topics that I literally have no knowledge of the topic, and then we have to go and create this list of questions and a show outline that sounds like we do know what we're talking about for these really well-read, smart guests.
Hopefully,
yeah. There are times we sit there and like, oh, this was not the best show, but we try our best. But yeah, I mean, I guess another thing is sort of introducing ourselves to our listeners and our interests and how our interests have evolved into the Loopcast. So, Sina, do you want to tell everyone about yourself a bit first?
Sure. I started off, when I came to DC, wanted to do, work on Iran. That didn't really, for various reasons, it didn't really succeed. And so I got into first web design, and then gradually into my position, doing help desk and IT work. And at the same time, as a hobby, writing a lot of code in C and, getting into reverse engineering as much as I can. But I was interested as I was getting into information security, you know, I was sort of surprised that on one hand you have these very intelligent conversations on Twitter, and on the other hand you look at the popular response, and the sort of popular meaning of cybersecurity, and it's just akin to how an outsider interprets voodoo. It's magic to them or something. And people can't get beyond a technical conversation and focus on the humanity of it, you know, politics, strategy, law, things that sort of drive security forward but aren't technical in nature. So with that being said, I wanted to bring in people who were very familiar with the technology and the technical side, but aren't afraid to speak to the strategic and legal side of things. And so this was people like Dave Attell. We had Jim DeNiro talking about the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, Joshua Corman talking about sort of the intersection of automotive law, or, you know, the cars and sort of the movement towards, you know, autonomous vehicles. And I think that was important to me. And I think a lot of that, you know, was trying to, my attempt to sort of bridge, you know, the technical side of things with the political side and sort of bridge our two audiences, from InfoSec to, you know, political science and that sort of thing. I mean, with that being said, it was just, you know, it's very interesting. And I think we've been very successful in bridging those two audiences, because, as you know, from 2012 to now, you know, you can't do anything without having basic technical skills. I mean, I think our conversation with Justin Seitz sort of highlighted this. You want to do like open intelligence collection while you need technical skills or an understanding of, not necessarily programming in Python, but how that data is produced. And I think that was sort of our goal, and I think we sort of succeeded at it. And it's, bridging those two worlds or having those two worlds sort of have a conversation together. What about you, Chelsea? I mean, what sort of brought you to the Loopcast?
Well, what brought me to the Loopcast was first the great idea of creating this platform that people we knew or people that we've read issues, articles, research that they've done, and bringing the research to light. I thought that was a really fantastic platform because I think anyone that's in a field that has any publication or very academic strong or technology as Sina's field is, there's always that point where you're trying to get your work noticed, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you have fantastic thoughts, fantastic analysis, and it might not always see the light as it should. So the initial thing of coming to the Loopcast was this platform and providing it for our guests and our listeners, because they learn from our guests. I've actually learned a lot from some of the guests that we've had on the shows on certain topics. It's like a mini university course for myself. But I mean, my background is in Near Middle Eastern studies, so I went to school, have a master's degree in that. I'm looking at further graduate degrees at the moment in security issues, actually, because my focus is on terrorism research, very much looking at the situation in Syria and Iraq right now. So we've had a lot of great shows on that topic and amazing guests, and being able to bring those shows to you, our listeners, has been fantastic because I feel like we've had a really strong series in that arena, as well as a lot of just international topics and international events that have rocked the world for the last 3 years. So it's been a wild ride. It's been a fun ride. I've enjoyed every single moment of it, even though it's at times stressful to balance the daily schedules and the show and all the research, but it's completely worth it. So it's been good.
I mean, the funny thing about the Loopcast is that, as Chelsea pointed out, there's only two of us.
Yeah. a lot of people think we have this whole team, and we get emails about wanting to be a part of the team, and we'd love to have other people, but honestly, we don't get paid for this. This is a labor of love, so, asking someone to come on board and all the work that's involved in it just seems really selfish because we've both been interns working our butts off for free and we don't want to do that to someone. So, it's a wild ride, so to speak.
And I always wanted to maybe we can have the dog as an assistant, the Chihuahua, I think.
The Loopcast Chihuahua.
Some people who've listened to the show, we record the episodes like in an apartment, and the dog is if you listen to enough episodes, he sort of shows up
once in a while
for some reason. The only time he never makes noise, never, until he gets jealous, which is he thinks that we're talking to the computer, so why are you talking to this computer, this other pet? He reasons, and he either brings his carrot, which is twice his size. It's a squeaky toy. Or, I think my favorite thing that he does is looks at you and has decided to join the conversation for one reason or another and lets loose a series of barks. And this is probably the only time, maybe it's a positive thing because it's the only time he does it is when we're recording.
Yeah, and I will be completely honest that almost all of the shows that I've done for the Loopcast, I have had the Chihuahua on my lap because I've learned that if he's not on my lap, he will come behind me and I won't know because I'll be focusing on the show. And like Sina said, he'll let out a bark or a growl or something. So if he's on my lap, he's fine. He's happy. He's just a good little guy. So that's kind of one of the quirky things about the Loopcast. Sina, do you have a favorite episode that you've done on the Loopcast. I know that you've done a lot of the episodes closer to the starting of the show. You were a powerhouse in the first year or so. But do you have one that stands strong in your memory or that you really enjoyed doing?
No, I mean, I enjoyed doing it all. I think some of my favorite episodes are the ones where you would interview somebody who you've read their works, they're published, and it was just like, especially in the beginning, it was just so awesome that somebody like J.M. Berger would come on the show, and it's like, we're no name, you know, we don't have a fan base, don't have anything, and here you are, like J.M. Berger, David Gartenstein Ross, Will McCants. These were just like, and then Anad Gopal, like a bunch of like people that I had read their works and just came on the show, and I was like, this is amazing to me that somebody would take time out of their day and just, you know, somebody that I deeply respect, and that somebody that, you know, even though I don't do that sort of security analysis anymore or think about it, that they would, you know, I still catch up with their work, I still read it, and they come on the show, which just sort of blew my mind. But, you know, and the thing that I like about the Loopcast is that you watch some of these great thinkers grow, right? So, like, you watch somebody like David Gartenstein Ross and J.M. Berger just, like, grow from somebody that, like, with J.M., somebody that had only been known to a certain circle with his work, Jihad Joe, or his research on using Python to sort of examine social media for particular trends, and then watch him grow into probably, you know, this top expert on ISIS and this top expert on radicalization through online media, which, you know, it's just amazing. And it's also amazing to me that they, you know, as a friend, they still come on the show, which is just like, it just blows my mind. Like I'm so grateful for that. And I think part of that is the medium, and our show is just, you know, it's no bullshit. We just want to hear you talk and hear you sort of put your ideas forward, and that's it. You know, there's no agenda. There's no talking head. There's no politics. It's just, you know, tell us what you think. Tell us what you've researched, and, you know, make it known to the audience.
And I second that. I have really enjoyed watching people that we've had on the show, whether it's once or twice or a number of times. It's been so neat watching their careers grow and continue on, and having their books published, and, you know, getting on major network channels, news channels. And it's been fun. It's just been great. And not that I'm saying the Loopcast was the one that did that, but it's just been an honor to have these individuals on the show and, you know, in some way be a part of that. It's just been great. And I think, too, which I would like to highly stress, is the Loopcast wouldn't be the Loopcast without you, the listeners, because it really is our listener base. Personally, I would not be doing this show if we didn't have people listening, and we know we have people listening because we'll look at the stats. So do keep listening, because if you don't, it kind of makes no sense to do all this. yeah, exactly. Because I will stress again, it's a lot of work. It's kind of a completely second job. So, but it's awesome. It's so much fun to do, and really hope to continue to do it for a lot longer.
Yeah.
So, Sina, do you have any other thoughts you'd like to add, or any thoughts on where you'd like to see the Loopcast going?
I don't know. You know, I think the power of the Loopcast is, you know, we're so small, there's only two of us, that innovation isn't a problem. That in the last 3 years, you've seen a lot of a growth in podcasts, in national security podcasts, which are all great. Diversification of the marketplace is actually, it's always a good thing, especially when people are adding their views and ideas, but I think with the Loopcast specifically, it's, you know, we're always evolving, we're always adapting, and I think some of the conversations that we're going to be bringing you would be, you know, the intersection of terrorism and organized crime, the Internet of Things, and the idea, you know, that everything is being wired and hooked into the Internet, from your coffee maker to your oven to cities.
Why does your coffee maker have to be attached to the Internet?
Your coffee maker has to be attached to the Internet so it can team up with your Tesla.
So it can tweet for you.
So it can tweet. They can tweet about their adventures. Anyway, my point is that it being so small, we like to be on the cutting edge, the bleeding edge, and always bringing you, you know, interesting stuff, for what it's worth.
And as Sina said, to elaborate on that, you know, we really do enjoy your participation. So if there are topics or guests that you'd like to see, please let us know, because we will do our best to try to get them on or get a show on that topic. We have had people asking us about certain topics, certain guests, and a lot of the time we can get them on the show, the guests. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. We do try. We don't ignore the requests of our listeners, so please do know that we try our best to please you, our listeners. I know. Well, that's the truth. So, you know, please do. We love your interaction, so please do interact with us. You can email us. You can tweet us. We've got a Facebook page. There's lots of ways to interact, so don't hesitate to ever reach out to us. If it's for a job, like I said, we don't have money to pay you, so we apologize, but we don't have any job openings at the moment.
Anyway, well, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the last wonderful 3 years, and we hope to have a lot more years to come. And as Sina said, we're always trying to innovate, even though we are a small team. But we've got some ideas up our sleeves, so in the future you may be hearing about those, because we'll definitely let you know before we do certain things. And other than that, you know, ways of helping the Loopcast, we're always happy to have donations. We've got a patron account, as well as a donation button on our website. So, of course, that's always open to donations. Right. But just please continue to listen, and thank you so much for the last 3 years. It's been really a fun ride and really just a great 3 years. So thank you.
Thank you.